Over the weekend, reports surfaced that the Syrian government carried out a suspected chemical weapons attack on the rebel-held capital of Douma. Dozens of Syrians choked to death as a result. Videos show lifeless men, women, and children with white foam coming out of their mouths and nostrils. So that is where we start our weekly look ahead with our colleagues at the BBC this Monday. Rich Preston joins us this morning. And Rich, how will this news play out in the week ahead?
Yes, Lauren. Now, medical sources say dozens were killed in the attack. Videos showed women and children amongst those being treated in hospital. Those images have not been independently verified. But we are expecting the fallout from this to continue throughout the week. President Trump, as you probably know, tweeted that there will be a big price to pay by the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad. And he also criticized Russia and Iran for their support of the Syrian leader. Russia's foreign minister, however, Sergei Lavrov, said this morning that Russian specialists had visited the area and found no evidence of chemical substances being used. The UN Security Council is meeting later today in New York to discuss how it's going to respond to the attack. The US, Britain, France and Germany are among the countries who've criticised the Syrian government and its allies. Now, you may remember it was this time last year that President Trump ordered an airstrike on a Syrian airbase in response to another reported chemical weapon attack. Our Middle East analyst, Sebastian Usher, says it's unlikely the US will take the same approach this time.
There will be voices within the administration saying we need to engage in a much bigger attack. We need really to try and change the equation, the way things have gone in Syria. But most people would say it's too late for that, that President Assad is in a strong enough position. His backers, Russia and Iran, are all in. And if you were to go down that road, then you would be looking at a serious clash and conflict with Russia, which is not anything one assumes that the US wishes to get involved with in Syria.
Now, this is a developing story, obviously, but we're going to be watching how world leaders address these claims of a chemical weapons attack on civilians over the coming days.
And today marks 15 years since U.S. forces entered Baghdad, overthrowing dictator Saddam Hussein. So linked to that, this week, campaigning begins in upcoming elections in Iraq. So, Rich, what can you tell us?
Yes, now, the battle for Baghdad marked the end of major combat operations in the invasion of Iraq. Our correspondent David Willis was embedded with the US Marine Corps when they entered the Iraqi capital. He told me they survived vicious firefights on their way into the city.
Skirmishes were still raging as we entered Baghdad, but it was clear by that stage that the conflict was winding down. But as word spread, groups formed on street corners to cheer the American troops as their armored columns trundled through those dusty streets. In the days that followed, those who'd fled the city started to return, bringing with them a sense of hope. There was little indication of the chaos that was to follow.
Now, that chaos that David Willis is referring to was looting, instability, and then a bloody sectarian conflict. The insurgency over the next few years left many thousands of Iraqi civilians dead, as well as over 4,000 American soldiers, nearly 100 of them from Arizona. So today, certainly a significant date in Iraq's history. And as you say, it's linked to the start of campaigning for the next round of parliamentary elections in Iraq. Campaigning begins as of this week. The elections themselves take place in May, elections that arguably wouldn't be happening at all if it weren't for the events of 15 years ago. These will be the first elections since 2014, when the current leader Haider al-Abadi was elected. That was also the year that Islamic State took over vast swathes of the country. The BBC's Joan Soley told me who's in the running against the incumbent leader.
His main rival is Hadi al-Amri, a powerful Shia figure known for having close ties to Iran. While the country was focused on defeating the Islamic State group, it was a nation with a common goal. Now it is divided along familiar lines, Sunni, Shia, Kurd. Yet they share similar grievances. They want areas to be rebuilt quickly. They want better schools, jobs, an end to corruption, and they want security.
So 15 years on since those US troops entered Baghdad, we'll be watching how campaigning plays out for these fresh elections over the coming weeks and how those may change the lives of Iraqi people in the years to come.
All right. And finally, Rich, the Summit of the Americas takes place toward the end of the week. President Trump will be there. What are the big stories to watch for?
Yes, lots to talk about here. It's taking place in Lima in Peru, and it will be President Trump's first time in South America since taking office. Now, whilst at the summit, discussions are expected to focus on the crisis in Venezuela, which has suffered for years from high inflation and a chronic shortage of food and medicines. Now, the US has been highly critical of the Venezuelan leader, Nicolas Maduro, and says officials there have put their own interests above those of the people. Venezuela's responded by saying it will never bow to any foreign power, much less the imperialist and warlike forces of Donald Trump's supremacist government. Strong words. So this weekend's summit will hope to put the tensions to one side and bring the region together to ease the crisis. Now, on his way to the summit, President Trump will be visiting Colombia, a key US ally. Now, Colombia itself borders Venezuela and has become home to some 600,000 Venezuelans who've fled in recent years. A few weeks ago, the US said it would give $2.5 million in aid to help them and the Colombian communities hosting them. Now, in spite of the normally good ties between Colombia and America, Luis Fajardo from our Latin American service, BBC Mundo, says that many Colombians are uneasy with President Trump's visit.
Trump accuses Colombia of not doing enough to fight a still expanding cocaine industry and threatens to cut aid. Colombians may resent the new language coming from Washington, but the United States remains their key economic market and source of security aid.
So the Summit of the Americas, discussions over Venezuela, and no doubt conversations about the US attitude towards Mexico, all on the cards for discussion this week when President Trump goes to South America.
All right, that's the BBC's Rich Preston. Rich, thanks as always.